what makes you feel ultra feminine may be totally different from what makes me, like, I feel the most feminine. This is so weird, but it's true. Like, I feel the sexiest and most female and most womanly when I'm lifting weights in the gym. When I was growing up, I was always told that I was too much to handle. I was too loud, too opinionated, too demanding, just plain too much. Now, as an adult, I celebrate these qualities within myself and within the women I know. This is a call to action. This is a space to own your too muchness. This is too much to handle. Here and today I am jumping right in because I'm here with the incredible Anna Wood, who is the outspoken and inspirational babe behind Brains Over Blonde, which is a feminist lifestyle platform for women who refuse to choose between femininity and success, which, as most of you know, if you've listened to this podcast, is something that I personally feel very passionate about. And we're going to talk about boobs, we're going to talk about boys, we're going to talk about being blonde, and so much more. I am so excited to introduce you all to Anna. But first, that was such a tease, I want to give a shout out to the reviewer of the week, Caitlin Elwood. And she says, I just recently started listening to this podcast after I heard Hannah on another podcast. So far, every episode has been entertaining and enlightening. I feel like I learned something new each episode, especially the self-love episode, which Hannah did solo. Only the best podcasters can do solo episodes. I'm reading a quote, guys. I didn't write this myself. I know, like it sounds. I'm so excited to take Hannah's five steps from this episode and learn to truly love myself. Thank you, Hannah. Can't wait to learn more from you and your guests every week. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for that review. I'm not going to lie to you, Caitlin. I screenshotted it and sent it to my entire family because these mean so, so much to me. Not only because it gives me good feels, but also because these are so important to the life of this podcast. So please, guys, if you have like 30 seconds, write something up. I'm giving shout outs every single week and it means so, so much to me. And I love that you like learning from guests every week because that is what I'm here for, because you learn from other people. And I am so excited for you guys today to learn from this guest, Anna Wood.
Well, hello.
Hey, Anna. I feel like I know you because I stalk you on Instagram every second of every day.
I feel like I know you just by your vibe.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. So I teased this before we started rolling because I embarrassingly enough have taken, so I'm moving in a month and I have embarrassingly enough like taken screenshots of when you post your apartment because I'm like, I like this vibe. Like I need to learn from it. Like, so I have screenshots of your apartment in my phone, which sounds really creepy as I'm saying it out loud.
I'm so honored.
Your apartment's badass.
If I ever just completely redo my career and start over, I'm going to be an interior designer.
I love it.
It's something about it gets me high. I think it's because I love self-expression and your home is just another way to express yourself.
Yeah. Now I just need your help in convincing my boyfriend to paint my walls black and put feminist symbols all over it. But I feel like we could do
I got you.
It. I feel like we could like convince him
somehow.
He has
no choice. We'll just incept him.
It'll just like be there when he gets home. And I'm like, sorry.
What? You can blame it on me.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Like, I'll house sit one day.
Perfect. My dog will eat everything. The wall will have naked breasts on it. He'll be like, okay.
Why wouldn't he like that?
I don't know.
Just a little under boob.
You know, I think it's fine. He's got to be an ass man. He can't be a boob man dating me. So I think we'll have to figure something else out. That's amazing. I am so excited to have you on the show. And I love, love, love your Instagram and your blog, Brains Over Blonde. I love everything about it and everything behind it. So for those of the listeners who don't already follow you, which is silly, they should be, tell me what Brains Over Blonde is all about, how you got your start, because it's really impressive. You went to Berkeley, you went to Stanford, you worked for Google, like you're legit. Tell me your story.
Sure. So Brains Over Blonde, like you said, it's a platform for women and a community for women who aren't afraid to be themselves, want to step into their power, and are never going to downplay certain parts of themselves, like their femininity or their ambition, just to please someone else or to please the patriarchy. They always are going to do them. And how I got my start, obviously the story is always clearer in retrospect, but I had always been obsessed with female empowerment. And when I was younger growing up, I had a ton of confidence until high school and all went to shit. I showed up at high school with, I think my boobs were like size N, and everyone thought that they could talk about them, touch them. This one guy in my class figured out that if you move Anna to every next letter in the alphabet, it spells boob. It's the teenage reptilian brain, apparently. So people would call me Boobwood or Anna Giveswood, Anna Loveswood. And it was torture. I was bullied a lot, and I just wanted to crawl away from my body. And I ended up gaining a lot of weight, like a lot. And when I went to college, most of my confidence had honestly kind of just like fizzled away. And I wasn't myself anymore. It's really hard to do anything when you're not feeling good about yourself. Self-love is so important. And so when I was 18, I decided to get a breast reduction, which was life-changing for me. And I realized like how much feeling like you can control your body allows you to step into your power. So I started self-educating on diet and nutrition, got really interested in fitness and body positivity, lost a ton of weight, like 60 pounds. And I was also studying diversity at Cal, at Berkeley. I designed my own major on diversity in the workplace. So those were kind of my two passions, gender diversity and body positivity in college. And I ended up working at Google because I just thought that was the place I could learn the most. I knew eventually I wanted to start my own company, but wasn't sure what that was going to be yet. And I did a lot of different things at Google, but my real job in my head were the things I would do on the side because I was a really passion-driven person. And so I was always coaching other women in health and wellness, helping them lose weight, helping get all the nutritional information out on like in our Google cafes because we were super spoiled there. And I also facilitated our diversity trainings. And so when I went to business school, I was thinking I would either start like a, you know, yet another fitness app or something, or maybe I would go be a diversity consultant. Either way, I was going to work for myself. I wasn't really sure what that was. And I took every entrepreneurship class I possibly could in business school. And I ended up interning for The League. The dating app. You're familiar.
That's how I met my boyfriend.
Oh my God, I love it. So Amanda Bradford, who founded The League, she was a couple years older than me at Stanford Business School. And so we were working together, and I kind of just threw up on a whim. Maybe this is considered a blog, but it was really more of a personal diary that no one knew about. I wrote a couple articles about equal partnerships and gender dynamics, and I didn't think anyone would see them, but a couple of the articles ended up going viral, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. This was, you know, my last quarter in business school. That this was the business. This is how everyone's absorbing information these days, is through the internet and social media. And I can reach way more women and empower way more women through through self-expression and sharing my own story and through writing and doing video online than I ever could through diversity training. And let's be honest, like people kind of hate diversity training anyways. So so that's when the idea struck. And literally like that night I came up with the idea of the name Brains Over Blonde. It's like one of the first names that popped into my head. And I took the first blog down, just started treating it like a whole business. And, you know, if this is going to be a business, how would I design it? And a couple months later, started my business. That was about a year and a half ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you just like jump in head first? Did you have sort of like a backup, or you're just like, no, this is it?
I jumped in head first.
I love
Much
that.
To like everyone's dismay. I definitely took a different path than most people out of Stanford Business School take. And a lot of people didn't understand it because I could have, you know, had a much safer, stable career path had I wanted to. And that just
wasn't. I feel you, girl.
Yeah, you get it. Like, it just wasn't going to be fulfilling to me. Yeah. And that's what life is all about.
Right.
And at least for me. And so I just didn't have any other options. As soon as I had this idea, I was obsessed. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do anything else but work on this. And I was just going to make it happen. And people do ask me that a lot. Like, how did you find the courage to do this? And it's like, I just didn't have a choice. Like, I was going to make this happen, and I don't do anything half-assed, so I had to make it successful.
Yeah. No, and I think you hear that a lot from, like, hardcore, like, in their bones entrepreneurs. Like, this was my only option.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was going to do it until do or die sort of, you know, approach to it. And you can feel that. You can feel that from your content, that you give it 1,000%. And one of the core tenets of your content, which speaks to me, is flex your female. So what does that mean? Break that down for some of our listeners.
Yeah, flex your female. So flex your female is all about, I am woman, hear me roar, be female and proud, or whatever that means to you, by the way. Like, femininity is different for everyone. But when I was leading diversity training at Google, one of the things we found was that, and this is all studied on Google employees, we have tons of data because it's such a big company, women wouldn't put themselves up for promotion as often. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't, you know, they would only apply to new positions after they met every single qualification on the resume and more, whereas men, you know, they'll throw their hat in the ring when they have half the qualifications.
Yeah, there's a study about that basically, what you're referencing is where if you have half of the skill set to do a job, men will be like, oh yeah, this is the job for me. Where women will be like, no, I need 100% of the skills to be able to do this job. Exactly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And also women weren't making their accomplishments known. So like I was in sales. All the men on my team, if they got a big sale, like everybody knew about it.
Like, I crushed it.
Everybody knew about it. But for women, we just kind of, you know, maybe someone else will recognize us, but most women don't make their accomplishments known and can even be socially punished for that. And so Flex Your Female is all about giving women space to make their accomplishments known, to, like I said, be a woman and roar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I love that. I think that is something that I'm personally very passionate about. And I think, you know, there is that tightrope that we walk in life that sucks because you can't, in a business world, there is a perception. There's a perception that you can't be ultra feminine or ultra masculine, that you have to balance it. And there was actually a study out of Stanford that found that women must master certain masculine traits and they will still face the double bind. So the double bind is this unwritten rule that women who act in feminine ways are unlikely to be seen as leaders, whereas women who operate like men are often judged as unladylike and disliked. So you do have to, like, women feel this need to sort of balance these two things, but you say F that.
Fuck it.
Yeah. So break that down for me.
I love that you just brought this up. You're speaking my language, girlfriend. So as women, we're constantly on a tightrope.
Mm-hmm.
And we face these dichotomies. Like, if you're beautiful, you couldn't possibly be smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could only be funny if you're unattractive or overweight. You can't be like this multifaceted woman that all of us are.
And that if you're a woman and you have like this high powered position, you blew somebody to get it.
Right. Or you're a bitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Hillary Clinton phenomenon. So I obviously don't subscribe to any of this. And I think part of the problem is that and I faced this throughout my career at Google and also at Stanford. I literally had career counselors tell me, like, you know, you should really tone things down, like maybe put your hair back, put your glasses on and dress like this. Don't talk like that. You know, I use internet slang and I always say, like, I write for Betches, but I speak like I work for Forbes. And
oh, I love that.
And that's how I think a lot of brilliant women are, but they think they need to not take any risks in order to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, and that's because as women also, like, we're used to being the only female on the team, and we might even be conditioned to think that there's only space for one woman. So a lot of times we've boxed each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been taught, like when I was in business school, we were taught the leadership qualities that have always been done before, which are characteristically masculine mm-hmm. qualities, when there are so many feminine qualities that make us so powerful as leaders.
Yeah. Break those down. Break those down for us.
Yeah, like empathy, emotion, mm-hmm. building community. These are, obviously, I'm speaking in generalizations here, but these are qualities that women tend to have in spades more so than men. And they make phenomenal leadership qualities.
Yeah.
However, if you take business school as an example, you know, we're looking at studies on businesses that are typically all run by men. The studies are conducted by men. The professors are men, and they're teaching to primarily men. So they're it's a self-perpetuating cycle that these masculine qualities make you a good leader. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of women, in order to be successful, will try these masculine leadership qualities on, and it doesn't quite fit. They may be successful, but they're not liked. Whereas I think as women, we should just step into our feminine power, be feminine and proud, and use our feminine leadership qualities. Yes, it's going to be different. And yes, people might not know how to react to you. Mm-hmm. That happens, mm-hmm. story of my life.
Yeah.
But the more we do that, the more it will become the norm. And then we'll have examples of female and feminine leadership qualities that we can look at as an example. And the next generation of women can look up to us as well.
Preach. Preach, sister. I do think that that's such a good point, because things are not going to change. The status quo is not going to change unless we make it. And
exactly.
We make it by doing it in numbers, right? And so I've been told throughout my career, you know, change the way you speak, change the mm-hmm. way you dress, and then you'll be taken more seriously when you talk about news or politics. And it's like, no, I'm not going to. And likewise, just in daily life, whether it's in business or not, I was having a dinner conversation with my girlfriend the other day, and we were sitting across from each other, and we were just, you know how girlfriends talk, we were just going in, and both of us are from LA, and we sometimes sound like Valley girls, and sometimes we say like a lot, and I saw the table next to us kind of like rolling their eyes, they were clearly listening, rolling their eyes, and I'm like, if only they knew, like my girlfriend, honestly, she went to Duke, went to Harvard Law School, you know, clerked for a state judge and is now like the biggest law firm in the entire flipping country. You know what I mean? And I have my career accolades, but we talk a different way than you, and that's okay. And we can still have these, you know, amazing careers and educations. And just because we don't do things the way it's quote unquote, always been done by white men doesn't mean we're any less capable or professional.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a double standard, because mm-hmm. men can be considered smart and taken seriously and great business men if they talk like bros or, you know, are crass or whatever, but that doesn't hold for women unless we take a stand and make it hold.
Yeah.
Because we know how women want to be talked to. This is why women love your show, because you are speaking their language. If you were subscribing to this patriarchal system and not being you, I guarantee you women wouldn't want to listen to that. And so I think when we talk about smashing the patriarchy, that's all great and everything, but women need to realize we're part of what created this patriarchy as well, this system, and we need to make changes in order for it to change as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a hard issue because, like, you don't grow up in a vacuum, right? Like, we grew up and were taught in a system that has been perpetuated for thousands of years. And so breaking free from that mold is scary. Totally. And it's hard, and you're gonna face backlash. But there's so much power in owning your true self, yes. Whether that is ultra feminine, maybe that's ultra masculine, whatever it may be, but owning yourself is so much power, and it really flips off the patriarchy no matter what it looks like, because you are choosing to step into who you truly are despite what's going on in the world around you. And I think that is where that like sort of like flex your female comes from, because what makes you feel ultra feminine may be totally different from what makes me, like, I feel the most feminine. This is so weird, but it's true. Like, I feel the sexiest and most female and most womanly when I'm lifting weights in the gym.
Hell yeah.
Like, but that it could be totally different. Like, somebody could be in a dress and heels, and then that's when they feel most feminine. It's different for everybody, you know? Yes.
It's just about embracing femininity, whatever that means to you, and really being yourself, like you said. And that's what I do. And I'll get pushback every single day from people being like, wow, like, you're such a joke. Like, what a waste of a Stanford MBA, you know? And I'm like, oh, like, you're so close to getting the point.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about ways in which you feel like you flex your female. Which ways do you feel like you really just like flex your female, like through your Instagram, through your blog?
Oh, well, that's kind of my mantra in life.
Yeah.
So the moment I wake up in the morning, like, I have this giant, like, resist fist.
Over your bed. Why do I know this?
Yeah.
That is so creepy.
Oh, right. The folder of screenshots on your phone. You know, how do I flex my female in my everyday life? Well, I'm obsessed with expressing myself, and I have a commit. I've committed to being myself and being authentic and being real online. And it's not easy. And I've gone through some difficult things since I've started Brains Over Blonde, and I've had to share that. Well, no one has a gun to my head. I've chosen to share it, but I do that because I see how it is giving other women permission to be themselves as well. So I always am challenging myself. I'm always asking myself questions like, is this really how you feel? Why do you feel that way? What's going on here? And just trying to look at myself and everything I'm doing without judgment. Because like you said, we didn't grow up in a vacuum, and a lot of this stuff is just kind of preconditioned in us. But I don't hold myself back.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm perceived as ladylike or if some people don't take me seriously. I know that I'm smart. I know that I'm capable, and I'm also going to be myself.
Yeah. And I think you can feel that. And I think for so many women, it's about harnessing that self-worth and that confidence in oneself to be then be able to share it with the world, right? Yeah. Knowing, like, think about all the things that we have insecurities about, like our intelligence, our appearance, and whatever. And when you know that as a fact, when you know that in your very core that you have these capabilities, that is when you can really push it outwardly, right? But a lot of it, like, is like you're talking about, like, doing that inner work, asking yourself those questions so then you can express it outwardly. And you do a tremendous job at expressing it outwardly and are very honest and share a lot that I'm sure gets a lot of backlash. You've talked about your breasts, which you've done here already, you know, the reduction, and then you got an augmentation. You're topless for half of your brand video. You talk about Botox. You talk about calling your wedding off. I mean, what is some of the backlash that you have faced for that?
Oh, where do I start? Well, yes, I get backlash all the time. And honestly, I love it because I love sparking dialogue. And I just think it's so important that we are talking about these things.
Yeah.
And I also kind of think if everyone agrees with you, like, you might not be saying anything that interesting. And I'm always trying to push the bounds of conversation. Also, I'm just a naked person. I like being naked. I think it's weird that we all wear clothes all the time.
You guys don't know this, but this is a naked podcast. You're just listening. You have no idea what we're wearing right now. So
that's so true. That would be a good idea.
I don't know about that. I don't know how sanitary that would be for these chairs, but
it's okay.
I take a shower twice a week. It's not a big deal. Nick Vile was in here before me, so, like, I don't want to share the same share.
He's from The Bachelor. Yeah. Yes, who knows where he's been.
I didn't mean it like that, but yeah. I love Nick.
Anyways.
Yes. So, yeah, well, the backlash that you get, because you've talked about, like, losing followers, you know, when you're honest, and you get a lot of backlash, I think. I mean, I've seen it looking at your page about doing Botox, about your breasts, about the way you dress and things like that. And I think that's, you know, a lot of women everyone's fears when stepping out of their comfort zone and what's expected right. of them from society. So how do you sort of like deal with some of that, and how do you overcome that and still continue to be you despite all of that?
Yeah. Well, like I said, when people are like, oh, how can you possibly be smart? You got Botox. Like you're so close to getting the point is what I always say. Like you're so close because guess what? Like women are multifaceted. We can want to get Botox to feel good about ourselves. Like, I'm sorry, Botox makes me happy. everything about it. And I do that for me. And anyone that's going to judge me for that, it says a lot more about them than about me. Mm.
I love that. Yeah.
It really doesn't affect me that much, I have to say. I mean, of course, I've gotten a thicker skin as time has gone on, yeah. and it used to affect me more. But I'm way more affected by the women that I'm positively impacting. And that's the overwhelming response is women feeling like I felt like I could never talk about this. I was so ashamed. And, you know, did this mean I was superficial, or did this mean that I couldn't be taken seriously? And now I see that that's okay. That's just shame that people are putting on us to consciously or not keep women down, because we're constantly bombarded with messages that we're not beautiful enough. Mm-hmm. Yet we can only be naturally beautiful. As soon as we try to be beautiful, you know, if we spend too long getting ready, or if we get Botox, or if we whiten our teeth, I mean, where's the line? If we edit our photos, we're no longer beautiful. We have to be perfect. We have to look like the ads that are very, very intensely edited. Mm-hmm. Yet it has to be natural.
We can't edit ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is. It is such an interesting thing because I think there's confusion and conflation with like knowing one's self-worth, yet still wanting to do something for one's appearance or even one's health. I get a lot of backlash for talking about like the gym a lot. I really enjoy fitness, but yeah. just because I do something for my health and for my mind and it has some aesthetic side effects doesn't make me any less confident in myself or any less of a feminist or any less of anything. You know what I mean? It just means that I like fitness. It's Absolutely. Very simple. Just like you like Botox. It says nothing about your intelligence. It says nothing about your business acumen. It doesn't make sense. And it doesn't mean that you don't love your face if you didn't get Botox. Right. It just means you want to have this little addition.
And honestly, a lot of it is about time too. Like fitness makes me more productive. It makes me more confident. Mm. Botox literally saves me time in the morning because I don't put on makeup. And all of these things are, I just do for me to enhance my life.
Yeah.
And if other people have problems with it, that's their problem. But I also want to bring the realness to social media and because a lot of people are doing these things yeah. and not talking about it. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's a disservice to society too.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Can you imagine if we said to like a man, like, oh, you shave your face. Like that means that you're not as smart. That means that you're not right. as confident. Like what? Like that would be never a sentence that anybody totally. Would ever utter. But when women do it, like women, you know what I mean? When we do something as for aesthetics, it's like, oh, you should know you were beautiful. You don't need to do these things. It's like, yeah, bitch, I know. I know I'm beautiful. Thank you very much. But I still want to do this. You right. know what I mean?
You can like, see that on like, you know, tabloid magazine covers. It's like the before and after of some celebrity. Like, did she get a nose job? Did she not? And it's analyzing her entire face. Men, male celebrities are getting all this stuff done too. And they're getting hair plugs and all these other things. No one's commenting on it.
And God bless you. Do whatever you want to make judgment. You feel it's beautiful, make you feel hot. Standard. But there is a huge double yeah. standard. That is very, very true. I also think there's a double standard in the business world in choosing to pursue a passion. So if a man leaves like a corporate job, you mm-hmm. know, and goes to pursue, you know, his tech startup or whatever, it's like, wow, that guy is, you know, an entrepreneur. Whereas I'm sure you've faced this, and I know I faced it, when a woman leaves a corporate world and starts her own business, especially with a platform and with social media, it's like, oh, that's cute. You're like, that's yeah. a little like side project you have. How do you deal with some of that?
Oh, that drives me nuts. Yeah. I mean, this has been true for all of time, but I think especially with social media, you can see that professions that females dominate, mm-hmm. things like PR, social media, aren't taken as seriously. Fashion and makeup, really anything. And you can see this in VCs too. You know, VCs aren't investing in Spanx is a perfect example. And it's really sad too. You can see this on Glassdoor. If you look up like what people are getting paid for PR or social media compared to other entry level positions, it's mm-hmm. much lower. And that's absolutely not okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what the solution is. I'm saying this now just so we can raise awareness around it.
Yeah.
But the way it affects me in my personal life is people asking, thinking that my business is maybe a hobby and asking for favors, which I'm always happy to do. And I always support my friends and, you know, but there has to be an understanding that this is a business and I'm not just lounging around at the pool, putting up a post once a day. Like I'm cultivating a community and an audience and so much goes into this and it really demands respect. It's the same thing with like brands sending you a product and thinking that
you're just going to post it for free.
You owed them a post. And then they're like, where's my post? I'm like, I didn't even ask for this like toxic body wash or whatever it is. So did I answer your question or am I going on a rant?
No. Yes. I think you make a really good point. And I just want to clarify really quick when it comes to salaries and wages, like there's always this argument when it comes to talking about the wage gap that, well, we'll just like, you know, women are predominantly in, you know, lower paying jobs. It's like, okay, first of all, like to your point, just because we are, you know, women led or women dominated industries are PR or teaching or whatever it may be, that doesn't mean that those should be lower paying jobs. That's the first point. The second point is there's actually evidence that when women start to enter a male dominated field, the salaries go down. Yes. So like,
and vice versa.
Yeah.
I saw something. I don't remember any of the stats around it, but it was about YouTube artists, makeup artists on YouTube.
Mm.
And have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
As soon as men started getting really into like the Kardashian contouring and everything like that, the pay went up.
I mean, I guess that's a good thing that we're having more men diversify
totally.
And that the pay is going up, but it shouldn't be that gendered in that way.
Right.
That is wild. But okay, when you made this leap, okay, and you just totally went all in for Brains Over Blonde, did you have fears?
Sure. Totally. Everyone has fears.
Yeah.
I mean, especially putting myself out there in the way that I have is very vulnerable. And I knew, obviously, if I failed, it would be in a public way. Mm-hmm. Everyone would see it. And I had people I really loved and really cared about and really value their opinions, like friends, family, you know, mentors that thought that this idea was insane and impossible. Them doubting me was scary. And I realized that it was just new and different and it hadn't been done before and they wanted to protect me because mm-hmm. they love me and I appreciate that. But I basically just had to put blinders on because a lot of my fears had to do with other people putting their reality on me and I had a different reality. I knew this was possible. And so I really just put blinders on and I knew like my core inside myself, I knew I could do it.
Yeah.
And so that's how I overcame my fears there. But I'm still facing fears every day because I'm always tackling new taboo topics and parts of my life and parts of my psyche. And it's constantly scary putting myself out there.
I think that's really good for our listeners to hear because I think people see people like you who look like the way you do. I mean, if you guys, let me paint a picture. Anna is just like stunning, long blonde hair, you know, beautiful body, you know, like she's got all of these amazing, you know, bullets on her resume. And to hear that even women like you who have found success by charting their own path, have fears is really empowering, right? Because I think everybody has fears at every point of their lives. And we don't talk about them in the ways that you do. And we're not as vulnerable. And sharing that vulnerability, sharing what you're going through is so important because it creates that community because we're all dealing with the same shit. Doesn't matter where you are in life. We're all dealing with very similar shit, just like on different levels, in different, you know, arenas, whatever it may be. But we're all scared.
Totally.
Shitless.
Yeah. And that's why I share because I'm like, you know, I see myself as an educator of life lessons through my own stories. And thank you for saying all that. And I know people see me on Instagram as this like confident, fearless woman, but I wasn't always that, and I wasn't always attractive. And, you know, actually a lot of what's made me really take care of my body now is my confidence, not the other way around. I'm not confident now because I am more attractive now by conventional societal standards. I'm more confident in myself and who I am, and that really makes me want to take care of myself and feel good about myself.
Yes, I love that. It starts with the identity and then the behaviors come from that, not the other way around.
Right.
Like you don't, I always say this, but you're not, it's not like you start dieting and you lose weight and then you're gonna get confidence or you're gonna work hard and then you're gonna get that corner office and then you're gonna be happy.
Exactly.
It's gotta start first with being confident, being happy, and then the behaviors that get you there. It has to start with your identity and then the behaviors next. So those fears that you struggle with, the fears that you had, the fears that you still have, how do you overcome those?
Well, I look at, if I am a fearful about something, that is my signal to myself that this matters to me.
Oh, yes. I love that. I got too excited, guys. I'm so sorry.
No such thing. Yeah, that's, I mean, if you're fearful about something, if like the first thing that pops into your head right now, that's probably something that matters to you.
Yeah.
You don't get scared about things that aren't important. And so I lean into that fear. I face my fears. I think far too often people let their fears control them and dictate their life. Mm. And that's so sad because like I said, your fears are what matter to you. So if you're letting your fears control your life, you're literally avoiding the things that you really want.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that so much. Have you read The War of Art?
No, but what? I was just listening to a podcast this week where they were talking about War of Art. I think it was The Skinny Confidential, maybe.
I haven't listened to that one.
But
you should read it because it does talk about that, how fear is your, like, I don't know how, you know, woo-woo everybody who's listening, but, like, is your ego's, like, I guess, signal to yourself, like, of resistance because it knows that that is the next step and how you can, like, really step into your higher self. And so fear is, like, one of the ways that your ego tries to prevent you from doing something,
right.
But it's because it knows that that's going to move you
forward.
It's
self-preservation. Yeah, we're always trying to survive evolutionarily. So,
and change is scary.
Hell yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
And worth it.
Yeah, totally worth it. And it comes with a lot of negatives. But
okay, so
like
War
you're
going to
War of Art. I forget. It's by Pressfield. I forget his first name,
okay.
But it's really good. It's a quick read. I think I've talked about it before on the podcast. Big fan. Okay. So I mean, I love that. And knowing that fear is something that signals to you that it's important, that you care about it. And then moving forward is such a powerful takeaway from this, whether it be expressing your femininity, flexing your female, wherever you are, or taking any step, whether it be in business or just in life, is an important thing for everybody to remember. Now, I want to ask you 5 rapid fire questions that you can answer with a word, phrase, whatever works for you. What is one thing you couldn't live without?
Sunshine. I have to feel the sun on my skin every day.
That vitamin D makes a big difference. Let me tell you. I didn't mean that
reason.
Dirty, but like, it sounds like it.
I
guess
in
both. They both are nice.
Yeah, sure.
Oh my
okay,
God, my poor
D.
mom. I'm sorry, mommy. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to be funny. What drives you?
What drives me is passion. Mm-hmm. I'm a very passion-driven person. So if I'm passionate about it, I can't do anything else. And if I'm not passionate about it, I can't even get started.
Mm, yeah, I like that. What keeps you positive?
My personality. I guess hope. I'm always a very hopeful person, and you know, there's always a chance. So that keeps me positive.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? What's that like, Michael Jordan?
Oh, Michael Jordan was my idol growing up.
Yeah.
What do you want to know? What fact?
What is that? What is that quote that it was on every basketball poster? It's like, you miss every shot you don't
take. Wayne Gretzky.
Oh.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Oh. Guys, I'm super sporty.
Sports ball.
Hashtag sport. I'm just flexing my female over here, so back the fuck off. What or who inspires you?
What or who? What inspires me is people living, like doing them and living as their highest selves, like self-expression, whatever that is. I don't have to agree with them, but like people living as their fully expressed self really inspires me.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. I always think about that when I see people like be an extra, you know?
Oh, yes.
And I'm just so like, extra. I don't know if I would do that, but I love everything you're putting down right now. I love your too muchness.
It
you
takes
know what I mean?
Boldness. It takes like courage, and they're facing their fears.
Yeah. I will tell you right now, like I was super inspired by your brand video with your top off. I was like, I don't know if I would do that just because maybe it wouldn't be as exciting, but like, but I will say, I was like, damn, like that is her just doing her. Like, God bless.
That's right.
Okay. Last question. What is your intention? It can be for today, tomorrow, or your lifetime.
My intention is to build a community of badass, fearless women who are all supporting each other and lifting each other up.
I love that. Thank you so, so much, Anna. Tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me at Brains Over Blonde on Instagram, brainsoverblonde.com, and come say hi. I'd love to meet you and learn about who's listening.
Yes. And as always, you guys can find me at Hannah Cranston on Instagram and Twitter. Please, please, please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. Also, guys, if you have a minute, please rate and review this podcast. I give shout outs every week and it means so much to me and the life of this podcast. So please be sure to do that. And just a reminder, we'll be coming at you every Wednesday. So buckle up because it's going to be too much to handle. See you next week.